me invite your attention this morning, take your Bible, if you will, and open it to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 20 today, and we'll take a look at a verse of Scripture here. I want to ask you something. Ever think about who that you identify with in the Bible? You know, who do you, you kind of see yourself with that individual? You know, I think about how good it would be maybe to see yourself as David, man after God's own heart. But boy, I'm afraid most of us, we wouldn't measure up real good there. Boy, how I wish I could say, well, I see myself in Daniel. Man, a man that stood for God and for right, a man of conviction, a man willing to face the den of lions. But I'm not sure that's true either. Sometimes I do identify with three Hebrew children because I'm in the fire, you know. But, you know, you think about it. Say, well, maybe the Apostle Paul. Oh, come off it. Man, how we identify with that? But there's somebody in Acts chapter 20, I think if we're honest, most of us can identify with at some time in life. And yet if we called his name, most people would say, who? Because not a well-known name, all right? Look, if we will, in Acts chapter 20, verse 9, the Bible said, and there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. You said, how do we identify with him? Because most of us have slept in church. Let's just be honest, all right? Most of us have slept in church, you know. And that's what happened to Eutychus. Paul was preaching. He preached a long time. Eutychus went to sleep. Now, fortunately, we weren't sitting in a window, all right? Amen. And maybe you were sitting in a pew where you had something to lean on or somebody, you know. Hey, when I was a kid, I slept almost every service, I think. I found church attendance to be very relaxing and conducive to comfort. And so... But when I read this story as a preacher, it's an encouragement. Yes, sir. I said, how could that be? Well, if as great a preacher as the Apostle Paul was preaching and he had somebody go to sleep, that makes me feel better if somebody goes to sleep while I'm preaching, all right? Said, don't blame it on me, okay? Here he was, great preacher, but had that happen, all right? But I'll be honest with you, okay? I don't like it when people go to sleep when I'm preaching. But there's a group of people, I think, that bother me more than that. It's not so much the ones that are asleep physically, but the ones that are sleeping spiritually. Spiritually, all right? I want to preach to you a little bit about sleeping in church, okay? Just a little bit about sleeping in church. Because you say, well... how do you know? What makes you think somebody's been sleeping? Well, you must be asleep if you have ignored the opportunity for salvation. You must be asleep if you've ignored the opportunity for salvation. Look over in Matthew chapter 11, would you? Matthew chapter 11. Look with me there at just two verses in chapter 11 of Matthew, verse 28, verse 29. The Bible said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Amen. Hey, look, the invitation is open for salvation. The Lord just, he was inviting people in that day, and his invitation today is still come. Come. And maybe you've heard the gospel. you've been in church. You've heard the gospel preached. You know that the Bible tells us in Romans 3:10, you know that Romans 3:23, that we've all sinned. We've come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10, there's none righteous. No, not one. All right. We know Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. But yet here we are, we sit that way, we've ignored that salvation. We've ignored the invitation of God. Hey, we know, You know you're a sinner. You know, that's one thing in witnessing to people. I've had very, very few people in years and years of witnessing to people. I've had hardly anybody say, not me, I'm not a sinner. Most people acknowledge that. Hey, I'm a sinner. They do that, all right? Hey, you know, there's a penalty on sin. There's a penalty on sin. That penalty has to be paid, all right? You owe the payment. You owe that payment. It's one that's owed, all right? That payment for sin, yet you remain lost. You remain unsaved. Why? You've ignored the opportunity for salvation. I mean, why in the world? What would make you do that? There's a song that said, Christ paid a debt he did not owe. And I owed a debt I could not pay. But he paid it. He paid it. Most of us would not get mad. I mean, we hear about people being in line in some kind of fast food place or Starbucks or something, and they get up to the window and the person there at the window says, oh, the car ahead of you paid for you. I just got a question. If that happened, would you say, let me catch them? Who do they think they are? They don't even know me. How dare they think they could pay for my food? I'm going after them. Ain't none of us sitting here would feel that way. There's not a soul here would say, how dare they do such a thing? But we reject the great payment that's been given for our sin. Debts paid. All we got to do is accept that payment. What a sad, sad thing that people continue to reject the Savior. I saw something this week, and I've seen it before. People want to say, well, how could a loving God send people to hell? Well, he doesn't.
No.
He doesn't. Listen, he's done everything he can do. He's paid the price. It's up to you to take it.
Amen.
It's up to you. You don't go to hell because God sends you there. You go to hell because you choose to reject his son.
Amen.
You choose to not take him as your Savior. Now, I don't believe the problem's a lack of intelligence. Nobody could be so dumb as to turn down eternal life when it's offered as a gift. Turn down eternal life. Eternal life in heaven, eternity in hell. Yeah, I'll take. No, you won't. But the problem is we sit in life thinking there'll always be another chance. We sit in life thinking I'll always get another opportunity. Hey, I'll tell you this, you must be asleep if you've ignored the opportunity for salvation. You must be asleep. At the same time, you must be asleep if you've ignored the warning of judgment upon sin. Take your Bible over to Proverbs chapter 29, would you? Proverbs chapter 29. I think ever since I first read this verse and it got a grasp upon it and thought about it, I thought, my soul, how can we do what we do? Notice what verse 1 says. Proverbs 29, verse 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Folks, I'll tell you, that verse in the Bible. And let me say this to you. Maybe you've trusted Christ as your Savior. Maybe you've been born again. But yet there's some sin. There's some sin that you hold on to in your life. You know it's wrong. You've been rebuked about it. Maybe you've heard multitudes of sermons about it. Or maybe the Lord himself has rebuked you. the Holy Spirit of God in you, convicting you about that sin. But instead of taking care of it, the Bible says that person hardeneth his neck. Stiffens up, says, not going to do anything about it. I'm not going to change that. Somehow you've decided to remain under the spell of that sin, whatever it might be. You've held on to it. You cling to it. Continue to be infatuated with the evil that it presents. Now here's the problem. We think, oh, it's not really that evil. Oh, but wait a minute. Wait a minute. See, we tend to think Brother Chester's sin, that's evil. Mine's just little mistakes. No. And by the way, it doesn't have to be mass murderer. Doesn't have to be that. There's some sin maybe you have to deal with. You're dealing with, and you refuse to turn loose of that evil. You refuse it to see it as it really is, and recognize it at the same time. God's promised, hey, if you don't take care of that, he said you'll suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Hey, you harden your neck. Right now, that evil habit's wrapping its coils around you, and yet you take no effort, you take no steps to put a stop to it. You won't even build up a little wall. You do nothing. You won't repent of it. When the preaching is done, you won't come and ask God to forgive you and ask God to help you conquer that sin, because the truth is I've gotten used to it and I want to keep feeding it along the way. Well, listen, my friend, you got to be asleep. You got to be asleep to realize and to even think for a moment that you can ignore God's warning about sin. Can't do it. Can't do it. Hey, you must be asleep if you continue to live in the flesh when you could be enjoying the fruit of the Spirit. Brother Dunbar this morning speaking in Sunday school talked about that. Take your Bible over to Galatians chapter 5, would you? Galatians chapter 5. The Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Now listen, that fruit is available for you and I today, okay? We have a choice. We have a choice. Oftentimes, God's people lose track of the fact that we've got the flesh and we have the Spirit. The flesh is that old man before you were saved. Now, the problem is, he doesn't die. Okay? He doesn't die. The Holy Spirit comes and lives within us. And as Brother Dunbar mentioned, there's a war in there. There's a war in there. The Bible talks about putting to death that old man. Putting to death that old man. But the trouble is, he keeps getting resurrected, all right? He's like a zombie, all right? There is no zombie, but man, he's like a zombie. That old man refuses to die, refuses to remain in that situation, okay? He just won't stay dead. He keeps coming back. And our life is a constant warfare of the flesh against the Spirit, okay? But we have a choice. We have a choice. If we want to, we can live after the flesh. Or if we want to, we can live after the Spirit. It's your choice. It is definitely your choice. As Brother Dunbar mentioned this morning in the lesson, it depends on which one you feed as to which one comes out. If you feed the flesh, flesh will overwhelm you. If you'll feed the Spirit, then the Spirit will take control, all right? Excuse me, but it lies with you. You say, well, what's the fruit of the Spirit? Verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Who wants those things? Good heavens, who wants that? Most everybody I know wants peace. Most everybody I know wants peace. The truth of the matter is there's a multitude of drug addicts in our country today, and you know what they're looking for? Peace. Peace. Just looking for peace. Want that, even if it's just a few moments, or a few hours of peace. Can I say this to you? Peace is available to you. It's fruit of the Spirit. You don't have to get it in minutes. You can have it all the time. You can go to bed at night, peace. You can wake up in the morning, peace. You can get up in the middle of the night and have peace, all right? You can do that, all right? It's available. But on the other hand, who wants joy? No. I'd rather not be joyful. Love. No. I'd rather hate people. And I'd rather be hated than to have love. Now, we don't feel that way. But all those things are available. Good heavens, Christian. You must be asleep if you continue to live in the flesh when you could be enjoying the fruit of the Spirit. Man, it could be in your life. Maybe some people, you look at other Christians and say, boy, they seem like they're happy all the time. I don't see how they do it. I'll tell you how they do it. They're living after the Spirit. That's what they're doing. Well, they must never have a problem. No, they've got problems. I'll tell you, if you live and breathe on this earth, you're going to have some problems. They're going to be there. It's not an absence of problems. It's the presence and the filling of the Spirit that brings peace, joy, long-suffering, faithfulness, temperance. You say, what's that? Self-control. Ability to control yourself. Hey, listen, folks, you and I need to grasp this fact. We could have that. You say, well, what does it take? Well, hey, you need to yield to the Lord. You need to yield yourself to Him. There's so many people to say don't want to do that. I don't want to give Him control in my life. I don't want to get closer fellowship with Him. No, I don't want to do that. Hey, what that means is you don't want to enjoy your salvation. You don't want to enjoy the salvation that God bought for you. I want every bit of it. I want every bit. I like to enjoy things, okay? I like to be involved in things I can enjoy. It's one reason I like to come to church, because I can enjoy being in church. I enjoy being with the people of God. I enjoy trying to sing the songs, you know. And I enjoy hearing preaching. I enjoy preaching, okay. But it's just, I want to enjoy everything that's available for me. If I go on a, my wife and I had a few days vacation booked that got wiped out with the kidney stone I've got now. And we had to cancel all of it. But we had this place booked up in Idaho, and it had a pool table. And I like to shoot pool. Now, I'm absolutely no good at it. But I like to do it. And plus, that's one thing I really think I can still beat my wife at, all right? I think I can still beat her shooting pool, all right? She beats me Indian wrestling, but I think I can still whip her, you know, playing pool. And I was looking forward to that kind of thing. And if that pool table would have been there, and we'd have been there for a few days, I want to tell you, I wouldn't have said, well, I probably better not mess with that. Well, we were paying for it. We were paying for it. It's like going on a cruise and never eating there and living off of, you know, sardines or Vienna sausage. Staying and eating in your room. Hey, the only thing that's really attractive to me about most cruises is the story of the food, all right? That's the only thing that attracts me. I'm not big on sailing, you know. and looking at the ocean. I can look at the ocean from the shore, all right? And so that's not a problem. But man, if I win, I want to get in on all of it. I'll tell you this, I want to enjoy all the salvation I can. You're not getting all that's been paid for. If you're not letting the Spirit of God fill your life and give you that love and that joy, that peace, that long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. And yet you're not taking advantage of that. Hey, listen, surely you must be sleeping. Surely you must be sleeping. Fourth thing I want you to see is you're sleeping, and if you ignore the opportunity of service in your church. You ignore the opportunity of service in your church. Now, you can outfit a soldier with the most modern weapons, the most up-to-date weapons there are. That soldier can be trained. He can be thoroughly versed in how to use all the weapons. But if he's asleep, he is good for nothing to the army and to the cause. That's why if you're in service, especially if you're on guard duty, there's severe penalty for sleeping. For sleeping. But yet there's so many of God's people. I'm afraid sometimes the majority of professing Christians, we ignore the opportunity of service in our church. Now, we've got every excuse in the book. We've got every excuse in the book. I can't, I can't, I can't. I don't have time. I don't have the ability. I haven't been trained. I didn't go to Bible college. I've heard all those excuses. Heard all of them. But do you realize they're just excuses? They're just excuses. I mean, when you, so many of God's people are spectators. Spectators. Have you ever seen them at a ball game, especially baseball? Now, I confess to you, I'm not a big baseball fan. I can watch a game, it's all right. But I've seen them take the camera and pan the crowd. Y'all, you've seen it? They get the camera on that person there, and you find them there. They're all snuck down in the seat. Y'all seen what I'm talking about? They're sound asleep at the ball game. Right? They paid money to come. They're there. They're asleep. I've seen those pictures and people laugh about it, you know. Hey, and it is funny. But wait a minute. We're missing the opportunity to serve the Lord. Amen. Missing the opportunity. And you say, well, I can't. We focus on what we can do, can't do. We think of all the things we're not gifted. Well, I can't play the piano. I can't do that. I can't sing. I just can't sing. I can't play the violin. And you know, I just can't do it. And I can't teach. I get nervous in front of people. Get nervous in front of people. You know what we're doing? Let's excuse my way out of what I ought to do. But how many do you look for what you can do? What you can do. I'm looking for what I can do. I just want to find something I can do. Hey, you know, there's something out there you can do. I don't care who it is, who you are, where you live. There's something you can do serving the Lord. You know, your terrible impediment can be overcome Brother Charles, good to see him in service. Hadn't been here in a few weeks. Had surgery on his foot, and he's finally doing a little better and not in so much pain. But I remember the Sunday he came down the aisle and he said, "Preacher, I think the Lord wants me to teach Sunday school." I remember that Sunday, right here, right there. And I got to thinking about it. When he first came, I thought, "Lord, are you sure you've got the right guy?" And I did. He said, "Why that? You didn't like him?" "No, I liked him fine." And Brother Charles, though, he had a speech impediment. All right? And but you know what? He did a good job teaching Sunday school.
Yes, sir.
Why? Because he walked down that aisle and said, "God wants me to do it. I'm willing to do it." I'm willing to do it. You said you're making fun of him. Not on your life. No way. I'm just saying you need to be looking for what you can do instead of figuring out all the things you can't do. I don't care who it is. Hey, look, can I say this to you? Everybody can be a greeter.
Yes,
sir. Everybody can be a greeter. I'm shy. Okay, you'll be a shy greeter. That's okay. That's okay. But we look for things we can't do. Hey, what you're doing is you're ignoring the opportunity to work for the one that pays the best wages. He pays the best wages. That's our Lord. I'll tell you, his retirement program is out of this world.
Amen.
Just amazing. Amazing. Yet, you won't get involved. It's like pulling teeth get you to do something. I mean, it's twisting your arm. You must be asleep. You must be asleep. If you'd get involved, you'll work with some of the greatest people on the face of this earth. But are you sleeping? Are you sleeping this morning? Go with me to Romans chapter 13, would you? Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. I want you to look at one verse with me here, Romans 13, look at verse 11. Somebody said, "What time is it?" Well, the Bible says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, let us put on the armor of light." Hey, it's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. You've been sleeping. You've been sleeping. It's the easy thing to do. The easy thing to do. Man, to just lay there and go to sleep. Hey, we're to awake though, all right? In Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, we find this verse in verse 14. The Bible says this. Ephesians 5:14. The Bible says, "Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Wake up! Wake up! There's something to do, all right? There's a salvation to be taken. We need to take that, all right? Wake up to the fact that you can't keep holding on to that sin in your life. You can't keep holding on to it without knowing that one day the it's going to fall and the wrath of God, you'll pay for that sin. Don't make God have to do that to you.
Amen. Amen.
Don't do that. Hey, don't live controlled by the flesh when you can live in the fruit of the Spirit and enjoy every bit of it. You said, "Preacher, that's only for super Christians." No, it's for every Christian. Every Christian. We can have those things, all right? Wake up. Awake. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34 says, "Awake to righteousness." Awake to godly living. Just get after it, man. Don't sleep through the harvest. Don't sleep through the opportunity God gives you to serve Him. Don't get to heaven one of these days as a Christian And you've come to the Lord and you've got nothing to present to him to say, this is what I did. This is how I served you. Well, Lord, I want you to know I sat on the end of the fifth row in the middle section of church the whole time. And I don't know who's on the fifth row, and I know you're counting, okay? It doesn't matter who's there, all right? It doesn't make any difference who's in that position. That's not important. Hey, but to stand before God and say, well, I attended most of the time. But what'd you do to serve him? Don't be content to say, well, I'm just marking time. No, arise, wake up. Get busy. Are you sleeping in church this morning? Are you sleeping spiritually? When you ought to be awake, you ought to be using every ability God's given you to serve him. No, just do it. Will you do it? Will you wake up? Would you stand, please, with heads bowed and eyes closed, our Heavenly Father?